Yeah.
I'm a weakling.
I don't know. What?
What else you got going on?
You
said something about, can we talk about the band party?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. I don't really know what it is. It's not like Greg and the band that he's in got invited to another band's like house party.
Ooh.
So there's
going
to be a
lot. How do you feel about going to a house party? Well, I guess going to a house party as like an adult, like a get together.
I guess his basement is like big, like mine is, but like all open. Oh, and then okay. that's where they practice and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go there. And I don't know. There's just going to be a party with a bunch of musicians. So it should be fun.
That should be fun.
I don't know when that is. Saturday, maybe.
I thought you said Saturday. Maybe. Yeah. Busy time. I feel like.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Busy.
I can't keep track of. It might be next weekend, maybe.
We have hockey in Iron River. Two games. And they have to be spread out enough to where you can, like, eat in between, too. And not, like, puke up your food when you're on the ice.
Oh, yeah.
So we're gonna drive to Iron River in the morning. The first game's at 11. And then I can't remember when the second game is. But the weekend after Thanksgiving, I don't know. I guess it's fine.
Thanks. Are we talking about Thanksgiving at all? Even though Thanksgiving is tomorrow.
So, are we recording? Okay. As some of you might know, we record at
willy-nilly.
We could record two this weekend and one next weekend. We don't have like a set time of when we record.
And we mixed it up too. We already recorded one, but then now that's not coming out for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I might have said something about Thanksgiving in that one.
We did. We did. No, we absolutely did. Because we said, because Ready or Not came out Monday, so the week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, like, this week that we're recording. It's fine. Oh,
but
whatever.
No, I'm saying in the one that's coming up next, did we say anything about Thanksgiving?
I don't think so, because I knew that one was going to be coming out technically, like, after Thanksgiving. I don't know.
We're a mess.
We're a hot mess. We're not professionals. We don't get paid to do this shit. We just do it because it's fun.
So we decided to put them in a different order.
Yeah.
So. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
If we're talking about Christmas in one, just ignore it. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Like, wasn't Christmas 3 weeks ago?
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Chelsea.
I'm Aaron.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to 1840s California in Ravenous, which came out in 1999. It's an hour and 40-ish minutes, and it's available on Amazon Prime for $3.99 unless you own it or there's a family video next to you that's still open.
I don't think, are any open anymore?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
But family video, I feel like, is like the last remaining video chain.
Is there still Redbox or whatever that
is?
Oh,
maybe. Barely, if there is one.
If there is, it's probably, if there are, they probably don't have Ravenous.
They probably don't have Ravenous in it.
What was your take? Are you going to like, or do you want to wait till we talk about it and then?
No, I'll talk about it right now. Fuck it. I love this movie.
Do you really?
I really do. I don't care how stupid it might be. I don't care. I love it. I love Robert Carlyle. I love the guy that plays Reich.
Yeah.
Well, I like this movie.
We'll talk about it and then we can. I thought it was weird too because it only got a 49% on Rotten Tomatoes, but then it got 76 on Google review. 76%. I think I thought that was weird.
I did see the Rotten Tomatoes one and I was like, eh.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay. You can do all right. The cast.
So it was directed by Antonia Bird, and it originally was not directed by her. They actually went through two directors before she was brought on board, and it was Robert Carlyle that suggested her because he had worked with her on previous stuff and really liked her.
What else do you know?
I actually wrote that down. I believe it was Priest and then like Face or something, like 90s movies.
I think I remember Priest.
Mm-hmm. I think I do too.
I think that's, it's scary, right?
There was a Priest that came out later on with the really pale dude from...
Yeah. Pointing at me isn't going to...
The Nicolas Cage film. He was like the super religious dude that like wailed on himself.
With Nicolas Cage in it?
Not National Treasure. the one with all the puzzles.
National Treasure.
Is it National Treasure? Yeah. The Da Vinci Code.
That's not Nicolas Cage.
Who's in the Da Vinci Code? Tom Hanks? Oh my God. Wow.
I'm like, I don't think. We're thinking of different.
No. People. The super pale dude is in Da Vinci Code as a really religious dude, and he's in Priest, which is a more modern movie than the one that Antonia Bird did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't remember him. I don't remember that actor from Da Vinci Code.
Right.
I can only remember how he looks in the book because I really like the book and I read it a few times and then I just watched.
I want to read the book. It's on like my long list of things.
I have it, I think.
You do?
Yeah, I don't think I ever got rid of it.
Not a podcast about Da Vinci Code.
Okay.
But yes. Cast. So directed by Antonia Bird, written by Ted Griffin. Cast. All right. John Boyd is played by Guy Pearce, Iron Man, Memento. Love Memento so much.
That's on my list of films to watch because when so people good. Talk about it, it doesn't interest me.
Carrie Ann Moss is in it.
Oh.
She's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ives or Calhoun, Robert Carlyle, 28 Weeks Later, Once Upon a Time. I'm not going to do this for the entire cast just because there are a lot of people. Hart is played by Jeffrey Jones. Knox is played by Steven Spinella. I think that's how you say his name. Reich, and I put ripped guy next to his. Neil McDonough?
I don't know. Let me see it.
Yeah. I will say that he's in Captain America First Avenger as one of the guys that helps Cap.
Donahue?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. And then Toffler is played by Jeremy Davies. Cleves is played by David Arquette. George is Joseph Running Fox. And Martha is Sheila Tosi. Yeah. Okay.
She won an award for supporting actress from the First Americans in the Arts.
I liked her character in this.
I did too. Mm-hmm. And who, let me look at your list of characters or actors. Sorry.
That's okay.
No, where's he at now? What's wrong with me? Jeremy Davies is... did you see Helter Skelter?
I didn't.
He plays Charles Manson in Helter Skelter.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. Because he's also in...
Oh, I could see that for sure.
He's in Justified, too.
Okay.
That's where I recognize him from is Justified. Yes. But he's also...
I could... totally see that.
Yeah, he makes a very like creepy. Very authentic Charles Manson. Okay,
so do you want me to go through a couple of fun facts?
Sure.
First, all right, so the cliff scene that we're going to talk about took 4 hours to shoot, and Antonia Bird did most of it herself. Like she the mountain scene, or it's filmed, it's supposed to take place in California, but it's filmed in
Slovakia?
Yes.
Okay.
Slovakia, man. night before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yes. A lot of it was filmed in the Czech Republic.
Yes. And then a lot of... Robert Carlyle and Guy Pearce's interactions are completely improvised.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because they didn't really have a budget and the production was kind of shoddy, like right in the beginning. So they just kind of did it themselves. And Robert Carlyle's scene outside of the cave where he's like going kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Completely improvised.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this, so Ravenous was inspired by kind of two different stories. One was about Alfred Packer, the Colorado cannibal,
mm-hmm.
who was traveling with some people, and then all of a sudden they died, and he, one guy, they don't really know, it's kind of like a mystery what actually happened to the people.
Yeah.
He confessed that he did eat them. And he went to jail for 20 years or something like that. But he said that one guy killed the traveling companions to, like, rob them.
Okay.
And then he killed that guy in self-defense. And then he was trapped there, so he had to, like,
I mean, who's some of to say, right? Like, no one's ever really going to know.
Yeah. Well, then it became, like, this huge mystery where they, like, tried to locate the bodies, and they found the bodies, like, 100 years later. Or, like, in the ridge.
Yeah.
And I guess they were, like, under somebody's driveway. But they found
Gross.
Them, and then they did, like, all these tests on them and, like, reconstruction-type stuff to see if they were actually murdered by the guy or not. And basically everything was, from what I read, was inconclusive. I fell down this hole of, like, cannibals. And then I read all about the Donner Party. Yesterday I spent 4 hours reading about it, and I'm surprised I didn't throw myself off a bridge afterwards because it was really freaking depressing.
Isn't it terrible?
Yeah.
I remember learning about the Donner Party when we went to California, and we went to Donner Pass.
Yeah.
And but I was 8 at the time.
There
so
was,
like
the chart... Or, like, the thing that showed how deep the snow was.
I just, oh.
It was horrible.
No, thank you.
I read about it all day long. Let's see. Okay, so I guess we should start talking about
yes.
the actual
Yeah.
movie.
I mean, sure. I do want to point out, too, that Robert Carlyle's smallpox vaccination scar can be seen.
Yes.
Did you write that down?
I saw that. When he's in the tub there.
Yes.
Oh, the soundtrack. I only wrote down one of the guy's names that worked on it. I apologize to the other one because I didn't write his name down. But the soundtrack was done partially by Damon Albarn.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the singer for Blur.
Oh.
And he was the, like, one of the original people in Gorillaz.
That's interesting.
That's
a fun fact.
But the soundtrack was like half done by one person and half done by another person. They didn't like really
it's
work
like
on it together.
Surprisingly upbeat for the film.
I made some comments.
We're gonna
about
talk
that.
About this. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So at the beginning of the film, it starts out with an awards ceremony for John Boyd. For essentially like capturing. He was in the war, and he captured some higher-ups from the Mexican army.
Yeah, he took a fort from the inside, what it was.
Well, he won the award, but at the same time, they decided to ship him off because he was technically, like, a coward how he got in, once he told them the whole story.
Yeah, so you get kind of flashbacks of this. You get flashbacks of him essentially, I don't know if you'd call it shell shock or something. He like freezes. And all of his men are like, Sergeant Boyd, Sergeant Boyd, or whatever. And he just like lays down in the dirt and just lays there.
Yeah, he falls down scared. And they go back and forth with flashbacks. But what had happened is... He just kind of, like, falls and lays down.
And plays dead.
Well, then everyone dies, and then they scoop up all the dead bodies, and they put them in a big pile.
In the fort,
which I thought was weird. Why would they do that? But inside the fort. Well, then he wiggles out as the fort's being, like, taken over.
After consuming a large amount of blood.
Blood did, like, drip all in his face for however many hours he was laying there.
Yeah.
But he climbs out as the fort is being, like, taken over, and he is, like, right in the middle of it.
Yes.
So at the awards ceremony, did you notice how disgusting those steaks looked?
Yeah, they look gross. Everybody has served steak. And
I wondered if it was going to make you quit eating meat again.
It was just gross. And that's like the only thing on the plates.
Yeah, there's just one. It was like it looked like prime rib. But it's like one giant steak and they were all rare and they were all in like a ton of blood. And everyone's like making all these gross chewing noises.
Except Boyd.
Except Boyd. He gets grossed out and goes and pukes.
Yeah, you don't really see him eat a ton in this film other than, well, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
I think he wants to be a vegetarian or something.
He gets kind of like, he gets sent off to a way station.
To Fort Spencer.
Mm-hmm. That basically is the first point that people traveling over the mountains.
Yes.
It's like the first outpost that they get to after the
mountain
pass.
And it's like
a
reject place for all of the people that were in the Mexican-American War to kind of...
Yeah, they kind of just stick them there. I thought it was funny. Okay, well, then they go over the flashback as he's like at dinner with them.
Yes.
They go over once he gets there.
I like the introduction of all of the people that are there, too.
Yeah.
That was super interesting.
I thought it was funny how the two guys were, like, clearly stoned.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I wrote that down. So, Hart is, like, the head of Fort Spencer. Knox is the alcoholic. Reich,
So, is Hart, he's the dad from Beetlejuice, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's in Ferris Bueller
too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Reich is the super ripped guy, and I'm super curious to know what he did to get sent there. He probably like went ape shit on someone.
Was a little too
intense.
Yeah.
Toffler is the religious guy, or like the pastor of the group. Cleves is
who's a drunk.
Knox is the alcoholic. George is one of the locals, and he's kind of a stoner guy with Cleves. Like, they hang out together. And then Martha is George's sister, who's also one of the locals.
Yeah.
Like, from the...
they're, like, natives.
Yeah.
So, I don't understand. So, Martha and Cleves leave to go for provisions.
Yeah,
they talk about how it's a 3-day ride.
Yeah.
So that's how far away they are from everything.
Yes. They're like out in the middle of nowhere. So in the introduction to the characters, Reich is seen in the river naked, like just like screaming. And he's just like this ripped guy.
Well, it is technically a horror comedy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because and Knox is like throwing back whiskey or whatever.
That's when they were going through the characters at the introduction of the camp. Greg immediately goes, is this a horror comedy?
Yeah.
It wasn't like super funny.
It's supposed to be more like satire. Like,
yeah. But I mean, I thought it was good. Like that intro.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
Moving along.
So Boyd and Hart are talking, just kind of like figuring stuff out. They have a couple drinks together, and then a stranger wanders into camp.
Yeah, when...
Oh, and this is the off-season, too. So normally there's a ton of people there.
Yeah.
But since it's like coming into winter...
Yes.
And there's not going to be many pioneers like crossing over the mountain, they're basically just shut down.
Like a skeleton crew.
Yeah.
And Boyd is in his room at one point before they start drinking and is like looking at his medal. And Hart walks in and he's just like, oh, how'd you get that? And Boyd's like cowardice and just like puts the medal away.
Yeah.
Like you feel kind of bad for him. At least I did.
I felt a little bad for him.
Yeah.
So the stranger shows up.
Yes.
And
it's weird that he was like looking in the window and then like mysteriously like fainted outside. Did you see that?
I guess I didn't even notice that. Well, he's like faking them out.
Yeah.
He shows up and he's like barely conscious. They get him in a tub to like warm him up. That's when you see the smallpox scar.
That's when you see this. What year is this?
Yeah. And what I want to know too is if he's been like starving and traveling, like he's still in pretty good shape.
For 3 months. That's what.
Like he's still pretty buff.
And they kind of like, they question that when he's in like the tub. They're like, so you've just been like wandering around for 3 months without any food?
Yeah. Well, he says okay. He lost 30 pounds. And I've watched Naked and Afraid and they lose 30 pounds in like 3 weeks.
No shit. Yeah.
So, yeah, he says that he's lost weight. Well, he shows up and he's all thin and his clothes are bloody and they wash him and then he sleeps.
Yeah.
And then when he wakes up, he starts telling the story.
And he introduces himself as Calhoun.
Yeah.
So.
He was lost for 3 months and he lost all this weight. I wrote his story down. So they left in April and there were 6 people. There was a couple, a father, son, and a guide in him. They were taking a shorter route and it failed. So that's very similar to Donna.
Well, and Ives had told them to go a different way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ives was the guide or something.
The guide.
And so Ives told them like, oh, well, if you cut through this area, like we should get there quicker.
Yeah, which similar is what situation. Happened with the Donner Party. Mm-hmm. Well, then, so there's 6 of them traveling. And then he talks about how the horses and oxen that were with them lasted a month.
It all doesn't line up.
And that doesn't make any sense at all because, like, ox and horses are giant.
Yes. And so they all kind of like question it too, but they're still like, listening.
Oh, you ran like, out of food okay. in a month, right. even though you had your horses and oxen carrying all your stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
if you didn't pay attention to the timeline and just listen to a story, it's a sad as fuck story. But yeah. The timeline is just kind of wonky.
Well, then they talk about. Then he explains that they ran out of food and then they ate one of the, who did they say ate?
Jones.
They ate Jones?
They ate Jones's legs.
Yeah.
First.
So
it's just his story doesn't line up.
Yeah.
There are a lot of inconsistencies. It doesn't line up.
And then that's when George gets out his, like, hide and it has drawings of
the Wendigo,
yeah,
or Wendigo depending on
which
pronunciation.
That was kind of a and they're like, yeah, story from the north, but that was pretty, from my understanding, it was like a northeastern Canada
yes
thing,
like Algonquin.
And it was Algonquin.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they would have heard about it down in
like word of mouth. I mean, at that point.
But yeah, I just wonder, like, if that would have actually happened.
Yeah.
Like, if they would know those stories from so far away.
Yeah.
Like,
back. That's true.
Yeah. So basically, George explains that eating humans, like, steals their energy.
Yeah. Which is what a lot of cannibal serial killers think, too. And I have read a lot about serial killers, like, the past year or so, because, you know, what else you got to do?
I wasn't going to question it at all.
But a lot of them believe that.
But then George makes a very good point, and I quoted him on it, that white men eat the body of Christ every Sunday.
Yeah, I wrote that down, too.
So yes. Then you're kind of like, oh, well.
But that makes them stronger, supposedly.
Like. Yeah. Well, the group leaves to try to rescue the survivors.
Yeah. So Calhoun says that he left when it was just Ives and Mrs. McCready. There's the wife of the couple was left.
I thought it was her and her husband. And then Ives.
Maybe.
I can't remember.
But either way, there were still...
They were worried about Miss MacReady.
Yes. And so the troops at Fort Spencer are like, okay, no, like, we have to leave. Like, we have to... It's our job to protect these people or whatever.
Yeah. And at that point, it wasn't like...
It's a 2-day trek or something. I can't remember what they said.
Yeah, they leave. I thought it was funny that Hart was like dropping all his stuff. Like, he just didn't seem very prepared for a mission. None of them did.
I mean, because you're stationed at this outpost. Like, what are you going to do? But George is like, George listened to Calhoun's story and like was not buying it.
Yeah.
Like, he knew something was hinky.
And then Boyd talks to, like, while they're on this mission, Boyd talks to Calhoun about eating people.
Yes.
And he kind of, I thought that whole conversation was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then that's, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, because Boyd asks Calhoun, like, did you feel stronger, like, after or something?
Yeah.
Weird. And Calhoun's just like, well, yeah. And that's when Calhoun, I think, kind of makes the connection that maybe Boyd had had a similar experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, they're going over this like rocky ridge and Toffler falls.
Yeah.
And he kind of rolls down the rocks and you don't really know what's wrong with him. And I thought for sure he'd have like a broken bone or something.
For sure. And Reich is just like, storming down like nobody's business. He totally went apeshit on some troop.
Yeah,
for sure.
Something happened. He like went bananas over something because he's just like so intense. And he's got a fairly bad side injury.
Yeah.
You don't really know what it is. It's just bleeding. What?
I was just looking down my notes.
So then at camp that night, Toffler's like all bandaged up.
Oh, it's so gross.
He wakes up freaking out, completely like screaming, yelling. Well, everyone wakes up trying to figure out what's wrong with him. And he said that Calhoun was licking his wound.
What a nightmare.
Oh,
what a nightmare.
God.
I would shit myself.
Like,
I don't know what to do. And like, Calhoun can't lie because he has all this blood out of his face.
He's got blood all over his face.
He's like, oh, I had a nightmare.
Yeah, I had a nightmare and I woke up and I was licking his side.
Okay, dude.
Yeah. So then they tie him up. He asks to be tied up.
Yes.
So they do.
They tie him up and Reich is kind of a dick to him, like dragging him along or whatever.
Yeah. Which, I mean, fair enough.
They kind of like turn on him, but for good reason.
Well, I don't think they trusted him much to begin with.
No.
And when that happened, that was kind of like made it even weirder.
It's just icky.
It's very icky. Very ick. Then they find the cave that supposedly everyone had been living in.
This part is the scariest part in the whole movie for me. When you know.
Well, Boyd and Reich go in. They find blood on the floor of the cave.
Yes.
Everyone else is waiting outside.
They find a lot of blood and like,
but then they find a rope that goes down into like a pit, which I thought was weird.
I wanted to ask you about this. If you were stranded in the wilderness or whatever, would you continue to go down into the cave or would you just stay far enough?
I'd stay far enough in to be like out of the elements.
Exactly.
But like,
why go down a rope? Why would you do that?
Especially if you were starving and you knew that, okay, somebody left, maybe you were going to be rescued. In your weak condition, why would you? I mean, you could go down there and they might not be able to get you out.
Right. You wouldn't have the strength to pull yourself out.
Yeah. Or to hold a rope so right. somebody else could pull
you out. I just thought that was really weird.
I thought that was weird too. Well, Wright goes down first. And then they go out. Then it like did. What?
Of course he goes down yeah. first.
Then they flash to like outside, and yeah, Calhoun's untied for some reason. Did you notice he was tied up and then
he was tied up and then not tied up.
Yeah,
whatever.
He starts like acting funky.
And well, he untied himself. Okay. I think he untied himself.
He's acting real strange. And Hart is just like, oh, he's just like in shock. He's just or whatever. In shock. He's well, just shaken by this whole thing.
Calhoun, when they get there, is just like, he's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. Like, he's freaking out. Like, something is going to come out and kill him.
Yeah.
And then it starts to turn.
Yes.
Terrifying.
What they find in the pit is skeletons.
Like cleaned from the bone.
And hanging by upside their down. Ankles. So they were like butchered.
Yes.
That's not really how you would do it. Plus the skeletons would not stay intact.
No.
Because ligaments hold them all together. But it was very spooky and they were bloody
and gross.
It was
very spooky and gross. Like, Wright goes down there and he, like, looks over and he picks up the head of what I assume is Miss
McCready. Yeah, she, the only one.
And he's like,
hair.
Okay, gross. And then he looks over and is super startled. And then he starts to count the skeletons.
Yes.
And he's just like, how many did Calhoun say was here? And yeah. They were like six.
So then they know it's a trap.
And he looked down and saw Ives, like, uniform, like, kind of, like, folded up or whatever, like, next to the bodies.
I didn't know did it say Ives or was it just a uniform?
He saw that the name tag said Ives on it.
Okay.
And so Reich screams up to Boyd, it's a trap.
Yep. So then they're trying to book it out of the cave.
Which they're so fucking far in, it takes them a goddamn hour to do.
Yeah. Now, oh, so yeah, they still think Calhoun is just acting weird because he's back there. And then all of a sudden, he like digging in the
dirt.
He's
starting, yeah.
Like losing his mind. And he gets a knife and he stabs Hart.
Yeah. And it's like a gross stab, too. Like yeah, he stabs gross. In and then like pulls up and it's just icky.
Yeah. And then he
I say icky and we do a horror podcast, but whatever.
And then he shoots George.
Yes.
And then Toffler runs for it.
Well, Cal Ives at this point is standing there and he's looking at Toffler and Toffler is just like staring at him and he goes to shoot Toffler and the gun jams. And then
I didn't think the gun jammed. I just thought it was empty.
Oh, it might have been empty. And then he looks at Toffler and he's just like, run. And so Toffler just like books it.
Like, did you notice? So Cal's chasing him and the other two guys that are left, they haven't gotten out of the cave yet. So it's like a wild goose chase to some funky bluegrass.
I know.
I don't know if you like.
It's like what's that movie with?
Greg said it reminded him of Life Aquatic.
Yes.
Like that type of music.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, it's doo-doo. So random. Well, then.
I piped in some tunes.
Cal. I wrote Cal a lot.
That's
just
okay.
To keep it short. Calhoun catches up to Toffler, unfortunately, and kills him.
Gross, too. Like, super gross.
That's, like, typical, like, zombie. Didn't he just, like, rip open his guts?
He did. So, Calhoun or Ives, we'll probably call him either from henceforth.
Okay, Ives. I'm calling him Ives from now on.
Okay. He's, like, booking it after he kills Toffler. And Reich and Boyd catch up to Toffler. And he's, like, ripped open. Like, his stomach is, like, splayed open. And he's dead.
Yeah. The Life Aquatic music is a little bit later. It's when he's walking home.
Oh.
So before that was Funky Bluegrass.
And Funky then it Bluegrass.
And then it was Life Aquatic music.
Like Deliverance.
Some like funky banjo. Then Ives throws a knife at Reich. And Boyd shoots Ives. That was when yes. he goes over the cliff.
Yes.
So Reich goes over the cliff. Boyd I really wish Calhoun.
Reich hadn't have died, but I suppose he had to for the movie. I liked his character.
Yeah, I like him as just an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he shoots Ives and nothing happens. Like, he shoots him in the shoulder.
He falls over and then, like comes to.
And it's, but he just, like, sits back up. Mm-hmm. Well, then.
It's the Wendigo power, man.
Boyd then jumps off a cliff.
Yeah, and I think Ives was kind of shocked that he would rather jump off of a cliff. Like, I don't know. Like, Ives.
Someone that you think could potentially be undead or was going to eat you.
Yeah.
So he jumps off. Well, he jumps, like, into the trees, which happened in another. Greg thought it was.
It does happen in another.
The Gray? Does it happen in The Gray?
I think so.
I don't know.
Is that the one with Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he takes, like, a running leap off of this cliff and then ends up, like,
you would have
falling into all these trees.
You would have been impaled by a branch or something.
Well, by the time he gets to the bottom, he's pretty fucked up. His leg is broken.
Like, compound fracture broken.
Ugh.
It's gross. Anytime they show a compound fracture in a movie,
I'm like, is this necessary?
I'm like, why did you have to show it? You could have just not shown it and implied that he had a really bad broken leg.
Yeah, like pants and then, like, the bone.
Yeah, I don't need to see the bone sticking out of the pants.
I'm an adult.
Shin bones.
Shin bones. Now I totally lost where I was at. So he falls into the same pit as Reich, which I thought was a little odd that they did side by side.
So Boyd falls in the pit and is, like, covered in tree branches and stuff. And then Reich falls down into the same pit and is, like, caught on his foot. Reich, like, grabs a hold of Boyd and, like, starts to strangle him and then he
dies. Which I thought was really weird.
He was in shock. I don't know.
That's just an odd... I thought that was an odd reaction. And I thought it was weird that they both went off the cliff at, like, the same point and fell into the same...
Yeah. When Reich falls off the cliff...
He, like, falls where Boyd jumps.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're both in the same kind of, like, pit.
At this point, Reich is dead. Like, he, yes. like, has, like, one burst of energy and then dies.
Yes. And then that's when you see Boyd's gross broke... Boyd's broken leg.
Not necessary.
And then Icky. I wondered, how long is he staying down there? This was a thing, too. When he's, like, laying there at night, hidden, like, looking up at the moon, and you see the moon in different phases.
Yes.
That's it. There, it's backwards.
Oh. Like, I didn't notice that.
The shape of the moon is the shape where it would be waxing and not waning, but mm-hmm. they show it waning to the wrong, in the wrong direction. Yeah.
You're so smart.
Google told me that.
Oh, so. Okay. Well...
I think, though, I would have noticed it because I have that moon app on my phone.
Yeah.
And so there's a little moon
on
my screen all the time, and it shows me, like, what phase the moon is in, which is kind
of
a neat little app. He ends up taking Reich's coat, and he's laying down there. And is he drinking water? How cold is it? We don't know. But at some point while he's down there, he ends up eating Reich.
Yeah.
It's so icky. He's down there a couple weeks and he sees Ives looking for him.
Yeah, he takes Reich's coat and is just like, you won't be needing this anymore, and is like trying to like stay warm and stuff.
Yeah.
And he sets his own leg.
Which I don't know if you could actually do that.
I don't know if I personally could do that myself.
I guess people can like saw their own arms off, so maybe
27 hours.
Yeah. 127.
Is it 127? Oh yeah, 27 hours really wouldn't be that long, would it? Well, I suppose even a minute would be long if your arm was wedged in a boulder.
I don't want to think about it. Don't want to think about that one bit. I haven't seen that because I don't want to, like,
don't see it.
Well, then he finally comes out of hiding and he's kind of limping, but his leg isn't broken anymore.
It's because he ate Rike. He absorbed his strength.
I feel like if that was a true thing,
people would
be eating people.
But
all the
I don't
time.
Think people like believed that that would happen. Like, I don't. I think it was just obviously.
But I mean,
like,
if
just
it
a
actually,
legend.
If it actually happened, people would eat people all the time.
Well, yeah, but
like, oh, I was in a terrible car crash. Like, didn't a professional boxer just die? Can I, like, buy some of that?
If you were in that situation. What?
Huh?
Oh. Oh. Mike just, like, walks out, and I'm like, what are you doing?
You stopped mid-sentence.
So, if you were in that situation, could you eat someone? If you were starving to death?
Situations like in this film, no. Because I don't think enough time has passed for anybody to have to eat another person.
Okay.
But like Donner Party situation.
Or
yes.
Like the soccer team.
Yeah.
In South America. Was that South America?
I can't remember.
In the 80s.
They made, was that the plane crash?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could.
I could. If I had to.
I don't think I could kill someone and eat them. But if they were already dead.
Yeah.
Then I could.
They, one of my friends was telling me about a show called Yellow Jackets, and it's on HBO, and it's a girl rugby team or something. It's a similar situation. It's fabricated, but they crash and have to.
Huh.
Like Lord of the Flies type situation.
That came up when I was looking at this one.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't think I could kill someone to eat them. If I had to. Now, this is if I had to, if I was, like, stranded someplace.
Yeah.
But I would eat someone.
That reminds me of one of those, like, little kid memes that comes up. And it said something like, if you were stranded on a desert island, what would you take? A deserted island. What would you take? And, you know, people list, like, books or their friend. And he said something about taking their enemy so they could eat them.
Yes!
I take my enemy, so I'd have something to eat.
tainted meat.
Yeah.
Like in The Walking Dead. Oh. Cannibals.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I forgot about that on Walking Dead, the Terminus people.
Yeah.
Hi, kitty.
Well, I have chatty cats.
It's not Oberon, it's a different one. Come here, do you want me to pet you?
He's very slobbery.
Okay, you have to talk because I have to lean and pet.
Okay, so yeah, I could eat someone if I had to.
He just looked right at me and started meowing. I had to pet him.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, if I had to. Now I can't remember where we're at.
So he
makes it back to camp.
He's limping pretty bad.
He's limping bad, and Martha, Knox, and Cleves are still there, correct?
Yes.
Okay. He asks Martha how to stop the Wendigo, and she said to die or something like that. Like nothing stops it.
What yeah.
Oh.
Because I wrote a question on my notes. I said, does the hunger ever go away? And then Martha answered it.
Yeah.
She said, you start Wendigo, you give yourself, you must die.
Mm. Dang yeah. It. You got me like mid-drink.
No, that's okay.
He goes to his superiors and like tells this like crazy story.
Well, because he went with four of his people from Fort Spencer and came back with no one. Like,
so he goes to his superiors, is telling them the story. They're not going to do anything about it. They need him to think up a new story. They just tell him, change your story.
Yeah, like
we need an explanation for why these people are missing, why their bodies are missing. So better figure something out.
Yeah. And they said that they went to the cave and there was nothing there.
Yeah.
Suspicious.
A little bit, yeah. But, I mean, Calhoun had all that, or Ives had all the time to, like, hide everything.
Yeah.
Then that is when Ives shows up as like a superior officer.
Oh my God. And he's clean shaven. He doesn't have a beard anymore.
Yeah.
His hair is a little trimmed.
So no one recognizes him because no one really saw him.
No.
Like, Knox saw him, but Knox was drunk the whole time.
Yep.
Because basically, as soon as he felt better, they were off to find this yes. cave. And then a few weeks at least went by. And then probably a couple more weeks while they're trying to figure out what to do with Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
And now this, like, clean-shaven guy shows up.
Wouldn't you think, though, like, wouldn't they know Ives, like, through the ranks and stuff? Because they mentioned something about how they didn't, like, I thought Knox didn't know who he was, but was just like, oh, yeah, like, he's a commanding officer or whatever. But, like, nobody had really heard of Colonel Ives or whatever he was supposed to be.
Well, because they were crossing from east from east to west. Sorry.
This is a cat podcast now.
I know. He's never done this before.
He's attention deprived because Sienna's at her mom's this week. So
so nobody's loving on him.
Mm-hmm.
sorry, kitty. I think it's because he's traveling, so he's never been there before. It's right. not like they have Facebook where you can That's look true. Them up and be like, yeah. is this person?
What a time to be alive.
He shows up. You just
be whoever you want to be.
That's why there was so many serial killers in the 70s. Because there was no way to, like, track people. so now he's officially Ives. They check him. They check his shoulder because Boyd is, like, flipping shit. Like, he'll have a scar. I shot him.
Yeah, like, Boyd is, like, curled up in the corner.
Yeah.
Like, flipping out, as you would be.
Terrified of him. Well, they check both his shoulders and no scar. Which I thought was, like, wow. Like, but he did just eat more.
He ate a ton of people. Yeah.
At dinner, that's when it comes out that Ives doesn't eat meat.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, like, a little weird. And then for some reason, Boyd, who he's having, like, a meltdown at this point. He fantasizes about killing and eating Cleves.
Yes. He's, like, looking out his window and, like, Cleves is putting together, like, his tent or whatever.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, then they're all kind of, like, sitting around in this, like, in the main room of the cabin.
Yeah.
And Ives slams a book, and, like, that's when you see everyone's tension. Mm-hmm. Because Boyd jumps up and pulls a knife on Ives, and Martha pulls a knife on Boyd, and everyone's just, like, super tense. Well, then Boyd goes outside and essentially waits for Ives to come out so he can kill him. There's going to be all sorts of weird noises.
Sorry, everybody. I have four cats.
So Boyd waits to kill Ives. Ives basically catches him, like, knows that he's out there to kill him.
Yeah.
And then
if Martha had been listening to this story,
then Martha would
have known. But I think at this point, Martha and Knox go. No, that's not yet.
Not yet. Just keep petting him and then he won't meow.
Okay.
There's going to be all this, like, purring. Michael, in the
help us. Oh. Sorry, Link.
Oh, his little face. He's Mike's probably listening to it in there, like, with the headphones, just listening.
Like,
to,
oh, like, my God. I have a lot of animals in this house, so it's bound to happen.
Yes. So then Ives tells the tale. He met an Indian man or Native American man that I wrote Indian because I think he says that. Told him that he could eat men and grow stronger. So,
and then he kills him.
He ate five men in 3 months And when he was traveling, he was sort of weak.
He had TB.
He had super bad depression, but now it's all cured from meeting people, and he feels great.
He said that he was on his way to a sanatorium. Is that the word for it?
Sanitarium.
Sanitarium, like yeah.
Because he was ill. Well, then he starts eating people, and now he feels great. And he asks Boyd why he's fighting it. He cuts Ives' hand and then smells the blood from it. He kind of goes in for the kill, and Martha stops him. And then Boyd's arrested.
Yeah. Because from someone looking from the outside, like, Boyd is just a lunatic.
Yeah, he's like, losing his mind.
He's super gaunt. He looks emaciated.
He's pale and sweaty. Like, just doesn't...
No.
He's not doing well.
And Ives looks healthier than ever.
Yeah.
He really does, too. Like, his complexion is very nice and, like...
Yeah, he looks great. they send... So then they send Martha out to, like...
Oh, yeah, it is just Martha.
Check the barns. And there's a barn of butchered horses.
Yeah, the horses and the cows are slaughtered.
Yeah. Now... I don't think that's to eat. I think that is so that they can't get away.
Yeah, for sure.
So she runs up and knocks on the window as blood drips on her. And then Cleves is dead on the roof.
Him and her and Knox are outside kind of like searching through stuff. And at this point, Boyd is handcuffed to... I thought he or tied up or something. And Martha and Knox go outside and they look up and Cleves is dead on the roof.
Yes.
Like cut open.
So then you don't know like what the hell's going
on. No, it's like, holy shit.
You don't think Ives did it. And you know that, what's his name? Boyd.
Didn't do it.
Martha agrees to travel on foot to get help.
Yes.
And then it comes out. I just wrote what the fuck in huge letters.
That's what I did too. I said, what? I totally forgot about that.
I totally forgot about it too. Hart is the one. He came back. So he never died after being stabbed.
So yeah, Knox goes back in. They send Martha off. Knox and Ives are in one of the, like, the meeting room or whatever.
Yeah, the main room in the
cabin.
And
Knox notices that one of his swords is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, what the hell? Like, what's going on? And that's when, like Boyd is in the next room yelling at Knox, going like, Knox, like, you need to keep talking to me. I need to make sure you're still alive, blah, blah, blah. Knox is, like, blowing him off, as you would.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Knox is dead. You don't see it happen, but you know it happened. And then all of a sudden, the door opens to Boyd and Hart is standing there.
Yeah. So Hart never died. He hung back with Ives, I'm assuming, and like ate up the people.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. So then, Knox is dead. They butcher him and the others. And then...
They make stew. Mm-hmm. And they... Boyd is stabbed by Ives. And Ives is just like, you can join us or you'll die from bleeding out. So, like, you choose.
I thought that was a little cheesy. His, like, prolonged death scene.
Yeah.
Was kind of
I thought
like,
that was kind of stupid too.
He was
too.
Like a little wobbly headed and cross-eyed and it kind of looked a little like comical, not actually scary.
So Ives and Hart are eating the stew and just like talking about like cannibalism and stuff. And so Hart says it's lonely being a cannibal. It's really tough making friends. So like, okay, cool.
Well, at the very last second, Boyd eats the stew.
Yeah.
So now Boyd is like cured.
And he looks great too.
And then he says he needs some fresh air.
He needs some fresh air. Him and Ives go outside to kind of like talk it over or whatever.
Did you notice too that Hart is so strong that he's like crushing?
Yes.
He has like walnuts or something and he's just like crushing them
because
with his hand.
Because in one of the earlier scenes, Hart like has to smash him with a book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. While Ives is talking to Boyd, Ives says, manifest destiny. Thousands of gold-hungry Americans to new lives passing right through here.
Yeah.
So they're going to essentially pick and choose.
They're very, like, vampire-y.
Yes. That's actually kind of... I watched an interview with Robert Carlyle, and he compares it kind of to Dracula.
Yeah.
Where, like, you're just, like, consuming... And like, what? Where's when's it gonna end? You know.
Yeah. Because I mean, really, if you're like getting all these powers and healing super fast, like
you're essentially, you can just be out in daylight.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. you would live.
Who knows?
Indefinitely, mm-hmm. because I mean, if your body's healing that fast.
So yeah, and Ive says like, well, we wouldn't like break up families, and we wouldn't. Kill women and children. Like it would just be like the loner people that yeah. would be walking through.
I think at some point it would get to like
it would women get to the point where they would just kill everybody.
Yeah, whoever they wanted. Mm-hmm. Hart and Boyd are alone together.
Mm-hmm.
And Hart asks to be killed.
Yeah.
He says it kind of silently, like he's been playing along, and then he's looking out the window with his back turned to Boyd, and he asks him to kill him.
I think finally, because Boyd was talking to him and was like, do you really want to live like this?
Yeah. Well, then Boyd comes up behind him and slits his throat.
Yeah.
Ives drops through the roof.
Ives... sees it happen and is kind of like, what the fuck?
I wrote, they chase each other around a bunch.
Do you want to just open the door? He's just going to keep meowing at the door.
No, it's quieter, though. He's not okay. meowing in the middle of the table, even though I can hear his little peats on the door. Mike took Link into his office and shut the door.
I know. So he's like pawing at the door. Oh, the poor kitty.
Okay. So there's this big drawn out fight scene. Boyd stabs Ives with a pitchfork.
Yeah. They, during this scene, it was all choreographed by those two. Okay. And they ran out of blood.
Yeah. It's so bloody that they ran out of blood.
Yeah.
Ives gets stabbed in the back.
There are a lot of stabbings going on.
Yeah, they're just like stabbing the crap out of each other. What I want to know is that a real trap?
A bear trap?
That
like
big.
Like an actual, I don't know. That's one thing I was going to look up and I didn't
look it up either.
It's like a cartoonishly big bear trap.
Yeah, it's like something that would catch like
Sasquatch.
I don't know. And it folds up on them in like a weird way. It's like a giant bear trap and they fall onto it, but there's like the center thing that you have to press down to like make the trap go off.
Yes.
And Boyd is like pushing Ives' head on it so that the trap eventually goes off and kills both of them.
Yeah, so
like it traps them, like Boyd is laying on top of Ives.
There are ones big but not that big that I could
okay.
look quickly.
They're like face to face and they're crushed by this trap. And they're both Ives is like if you die first I'm going to eat you.
I'm going to eat you.
And he's like, if I die first, are you going to eat me? And then they both end up dying. Like, they yeah. both.
You knew Boyd wasn't going to, like, eat him,
just
though.
Take a bite of his face. Like, I don't know. And then does it compile? So, like, if Ives had all this power from eating so many people, and then if Boyd.
It's like mercury poisoning. Just keep it coming.
So then if Boyd ate him, would he get all that power too?
I would think that that's how it worked.
I would think so too.
From the way that they described it in this film, I think that that's how it worked.
Well, as this is happening, that's when, like, the cavalry arrives.
Yeah,
to, like,
Martha shows up with Colonel Slauson and some other guy. And before they get into a fight, Ives sees them coming from a distance, like with a spyglass.
Yeah.
And is just like, ah, breakfast, lunch, and reinforcements. That was also improvised.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of what Robert Carlyle says in this is just him being in character. So I thought that was cool.
So then, oh, this is like
Slauson and Martha and the other guy are like searching around camp at this point.
One of the soldiers goes in and sees the stew cooking.
Slauson.
And eats some of it.
Yeah, which Ives wanted Slauson to become a Wendigo like him, too.
Really?
Yeah, they wanted to have, like, the leaders.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so Martha comes in, finds them both dead or dying.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, Martha goes in and finds them dying and then just, like, shuts the door.
Yeah.
Because I think at that point she believed the Wendigo thing.
Oh, yeah.
About, like, what was going on. So she was just like, walk away, shut the door, let them die.
So, yeah, I liked it. I don't know if I'd recommend it. We talked about this in the car. Is this in your top
five? It's my top Mexican-American war historical thrillers.
Yeah. Not Western cannibal.
Western cannibal films. I love this movie.
Yeah.
I
like it. I wish. So I love all the actors.
Yeah.
I love them all. The problem is that I wish there would have just been like a little, I wish the story would have been a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, the production was super rushed for this. So Fox kind of like, and I don't like getting into the politics of stuff, but Fox kind of like screwed this movie over.
Oh, okay.
So they had a director, and I won't mention the two directors that they had before, Antonia Bird. But they had a director, and the director and the rest of the production team and Fox, like, it was just a whole bunch of shit show. They weren't meeting on budgets. They weren't meeting on the turn time of the film and whatever. And so then Fox, like, had a director come in with, like, the top execs and just, like, sacked the original director.
Yeah.
Then the cast didn't like the director that Fox picked, and they kind of, like, mutinied against that director, and that's when Robert Carlyle got in touch with Antonia Bird.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
she had a week to prep for this, which normally you have, as a director, you have like months or years to prep for a film.
Yeah.
She had a week.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I did like it. I don't know. It's one of those things where if it came up, if we're talking about like cannibal films, I might be like, oh, you have to check this one out. But as just like, would I recommend it to anyone? Like, Ready or Not, I'd probably recommend that to anyone.
So I think, and people are going to give me shit about saying this, but I think if this movie was redone now with like proper funding and things like that, I think it would be a super good movie. Like, I think that they could make it like a. I thought it was a good movie anyway.
Had a lot of potential.
Yes. Okay. And Robert Carlyle's character terrifies me. When he's freaking out outside of the cave, I'm like, oh my God, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yes. He's an amazing actor.
Yeah. I really like him. But anyway, so that is Ravenous. It's December now, I think, right? Or it will be December.
No, not yet, because
winter months.
No, because this one's coming out right
29th.
Yeah. Almost. Ugh.
Anyway, if you like what you heard tonight, or if you've listened to us for a while and like what you hear on the other stuff, go give us a review. I think we've talked about this. iTunes does reviews. So go do that, or like our Facebook page, Facebook page/your movie review. We have an Instagram, which would be super awesome if everyone that listened would go and like. That'd be real cool. And it's /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a webpage, /yourmoviereview.com, which I think at some point this weekend, I think Mike is going to update.
Okay.
Hopefully. We'll see. Maybe. He's been busy. But yeah, everybody have a good week, and thanks for listening, everybody.
All right. Good night, guys. Bye.
Bye.